Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday. First hour flew by live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, it is a pleasure to have you in. The first round is great. This really is. I know sometimes, you know, everybody's saying this is the greatest and that is the greatest, but Boston-Brooklyn, that series is not going to last long because the bottom of the East, the middle of the Eastern Conference is pretty weak. Washington doesn't have much of a chance against Philadelphia, so... But with Donovan Mitchell's health, you know, he was supposed to play and didn't play last night. The number one seeded Jazz lost at home. That's a real series. Denver-Portland, that's a real series. Dallas beats Clippers, that's a real series. And the Suns are just, Devin Booker's too talented. Chris Paul's too talented. There's going to be some legs on that series. So out West, these are really good opening round playoff series. And I'm not a huge fan of 7-game first round playoff series. Steph and LeBron played last week, got a huge rating because there's urgency. It was just a play-in game. So Joy Taylor's joining me. But I do think there's a couple of Eastern series which are going to be, you know, they're going to be over. We know Boston without Jaylen Brown. They just don't match up with Brooklyn. That thing's over fast. We know that, right?
You just can't keep up with the scoring. I mean, obviously, defensively, you'd like Jaylen out there too, but you lose someone like Jaylen Brown and you've got Kyrie, KD, and Harden on the other side. You just can't produce the amount of points.
But there is, and it is refreshing. You've got, you know, it's funny. Devin Booker was really good for Phoenix for years, but he needed somebody to kind of lead him into stuff. And then he's got Chris Paul now, and Chris Paul couldn't shoot in the second half because he banged up his shoulder, but he was still on the floor, and Devin Booker was insane. He is just some guys just are, as basketball players, it's just the body language, it's the move. Devin Booker was built to score.
Yeah, well, he has ultimate confidence, and that's what,
Kobe had this.
Yes, you have
some
to have
guy,
a shooter.
Just every, his body, he can just nudge and get in the way. Some of it's taught, some of it is just, he's just natural. Devin Booker was built to score a bunch of points. All right, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, you don't have to wait. Order ahead, download the app now through May 23rd. Code HER to buck off your order. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
I warned you all last week about the Clippers' late game issues. They look like a bunch of talented guys at the YMCA that have never played together. The last 6 minutes against Dallas, a reminder, Dallas is a poor defensive team. The last 6 minutes, the Clippers were 2 of 12 and 0 for 7 on threes. This is a problem. This was the redeem game. It's just, they brought in Rondo to fix this. Because I live in Los Angeles, the Clippers, all their games are on, and I see a lot of Clippers basketball. This is a bad late game basketball team. They'll blow you out from time to time, but if it's close, the fact that Dallas's defense gave them issues is a problem.
Where Colin was wrong.
What's fair is fair. I got to give credit to Chris Middleton of the Bucks. He hit a big shot. Now, my problem with Chris is always, he's not a great player. He's a very good player. His career average is, you know, like 17. He's about a 19-point-a-game guy. Last year, without Drew Holiday, they needed him to be great. He's good. So when you ask a player to step up a level that he's not, you're disappointed. But he is a shot maker, and now that's what they need him to be. He's their third-best player, and he's very valuable because you cannot trust Giannis at the free-throw line to hit a three. Yesterday, he couldn't even hit twos. So this is what Middleton can do. He can hit shots. Don't ask him to be a number two and drop 32 a night. That's not what he's going to do in the playoffs. But he can hit shots, and he deserves credit because I've been banging on him for years.
Where Colin was right.
About half dozen times a year, I say, sports is actually now mostly dominated by old guys. Saban, Bruce Arians, Tom Brady, LeBron James, Andy Reid. Now it's Phil Mickelson. careers last longer than ever now because you can spend money, easier to stay in shape, and Mickelson looked like the best shape he's been in at 50 for a long time. It was a wonderful moment. I know we always want to bury the old guys, but there is something embraceable about what I saw yesterday. The old guys can still be great. Not every week and not every night and not every golf tournament. But when they want to bring it, they can be the best in field.
Where Colin was wrong.
I would have voted Chris Paul first or second in my All-Star or in my MVP ballot. He didn't even get nominated. He wasn't even one of the three nominees. It went to Steph Curry. It went to Joel Embiid, who missed 21 games, and it went to Jokic. I don't know. First of all, Chris Paul played 70 of 72 games. Second of all, even yesterday, when he hurt his shoulder and could not shoot, his value being on the floor is so substantial. He's a great defender. He shows up every night. His leadership skills late in games. How is Phoenix this good late in games with all these kids? They're good because of Chris Paul late. They weren't the previous 11 years. I got nothing against Steph, but you got to kind of make the playoffs for me to think you're an MVP, and the Warriors weren't really good this year. So I have missed on Chris Paul. I find that NBA voters prefer the story or the stats over the word valuable, so Chris Paul gets snubbed.
Where Colin was right?
Maybe it's because I worked in Portland, but does everybody understand how good Dame Lillard is? If he played in San Francisco, New York, L.A., he would be the toast of the league. You know, there's only one other player in the history of the NBA that has won a series on a last-second shot twice. Dame and Michael Jordan. First of all, he may be, along with Steph, the best pure shooter in the league. He may be the best clutch player in the league. I mean, but the NBA just buries him. Their game Saturday night was on at 10:30 Eastern. That's when it started. On a Saturday night. Yeah, everybody in New York's hanging around a TV set at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. He is a remarkable closer. I mean, honestly, I say, outside of Steph, one shot to win any game, I take him over LeBron. I take Giannis, Embiid, even Chris Paul. One shot to win a game. Ice in his veins, as clutch as anybody the league has had shooting a basketball late in the last decade.
Where Colin was wrong.
I was a Zion guy over a Ja Morant guy, but I will say this. This kid is insane. And also, it is a guard league. The hand check is gone. Ja Morant can get to the basket anytime he wants against anybody. You can't defend him. He carried his team to the playoffs this year. He carried him into the playoff game last year. And as much as I like Zion, he's nowhere to be found the last 2 years. Friday night at Golden State, the kid was sensational. The world's watching him, right? 35, 5 for 10 on threes, and he outplayed Steph. Now, he was just more efficient than Steph was. So I'm a Zion guy. Zion's personality, the strength in which he plays, feels like a face of the league. But in turn, you know, Jaws had no injuries, so I don't have to worry about the injury thing. And the other thing is, he's a true point. When you're a true point, you control the, it's a quarterback, you control the tempo of the entire game. The kid is just, I think as Chris Broussard said an hour ago, he's Westbrook, but plays more under control, has a better feel for the game than Westbrook. I know I'm banging on Westbrook, but the kid's really a natural point. Westbrook's just a great athlete.
Where Colin was right.
Greg Popovich and Greg Popovich's ego, nowhere to be found in the playoffs. He refuses to evolve. You got to shoot threes. You got to. I mean, it's a reality. It's no longer a running league in the NFL. You got to pass the ball 50% of the time because that's what the Andy Reids do. That's what the good teams do. That's what the Bruce Arians do. That's what the Sean Paytons do. 7 years, no titles. 3 years, no relevance. They gave Kawhi away in a trade. Why? Because Popovich was upset the way Kawhi wouldn't buy into his system. I've said this before. Tony La Russa, Bobby Knight, the old guys that stay relevant, like Nick Saban, evolve. Mike Krzyzewski evolves. If you fall in love with yourself or your system, you'll get irrelevant really fast in sports. And that's what Pop and the Spurs are now.
Where Colin was right.
The Patriots signed quarterback Brian Hoyer. Translation, Jarrett Stidham is out. Cam, Mac Jones, and Brian Hoyer will be the rotation. Nothing against Jarrett Stidham, the Auburn kid, but he wasn't great in college. Every ESPN analyst kept – I know ESPN's based up near the Patriots headquarters, kept telling me, oh, practice. Oh, there's a lot. And I kept saying, I watched him in college. He's okay. They do decent size, okay arm. But I have this theory, and it's on Jordan Love, too. If you can't practice with a football team for a year – and I don't hear a buzz about you, you don't got it. You were hearing a buzz about Mahomes. Peter Schrager was telling me about Patrick Mahomes a year before he played. You heard a buzz about Garoppolo. You heard, oh, this kid Garoppolo. If you can practice for a year and I hear nothing, I see nothing, there is nothing. So Brian Hoyer, Cam, and Mac Jones appear to be the rotation at quarterback. Good stuff. Lakers have a little conflict with the LeBron AD thing and Andre Drummond. There's a little conflict there. They're not very good with Drummond on the court, and they're great with AD on the court if AD can occasionally play the five. So we'll talk about that. But next, Derek Harper. He's great. Former Knick. Talk about that. Former Maverick. Dallas is going to be a handful. Dallas really shouldn't win this series. They're not a very good defensive team, and their best player is a kid. But I'll tell you what, late in that game, they didn't even need all those Luka points. They were the better basketball team last 6 minutes. That's got to be frightening for the Clippers and really encouraging for the Mavs and Derek Harper. Had him on before. He's great. We'll be joining us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday, the best NASCAR season ever continues as the Cup Series returns to Charlotte, North Carolina for the Coca-Cola 600. Coverage begins with race day on FS1 at 4:30 Eastern, then continues at 5:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Derek Harper, his number 12 jersey has been retired by the Dallas Mavericks. He could do it all. He was a two-time all-defensive player, still leads the Mavericks all-time in steals. He could score. He still leads them all time in assists. And he had a wonderful career. He played for the Knicks. He played for over a decade with the Mavs. He's now a broadcaster for the Dallas Mavericks, and he joins us live. So let's just talk about those Dallas Mavericks, Derek, because I think they're not yet a great defensive team, and yet with 6 minutes to go in that Clipper game, they made key stops, and I said, of all those game ones, a lot of them don't feel like they mean a lot. But for a young team, that this is a confidence builder. I thought it was a substantial win for the Mavericks and a disheartening loss for the Clippers. What was your takeaway in their late game performance?
I kind of agree with your sentiments, Colin, when you start talking about game one. I think the game was more important for Dallas than the Clippers, mainly because I just think the Mavericks, to your point, they want to build some momentum, some confidence as a basketball team, and I think still in game one did that. Obviously, Luka is all world when it comes to the game at this stage in his career, but collectively, Dallas was a better team on both sides of the basketball, and they put a lot of pressure, Colin, if you would, on the Clippers, a team that I think everybody is waiting to see whether or not they can handle the pressure of the playoffs. They had a debacle finish last year with Kawhi and Paul George, and I really feel like Dallas is playing with house money and can beat the Clippers. That simple for me.
You know, it's interesting. When you watch the Clippers late in possessions or late in games, they have struggled now for 2 years. We know they have the talent, but if you were coaching the Clippers, how do you turn around their late game woes?
You know, Colin, I would tell them not to give a you-know-what. I think the guys like Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, they listen to the noise. And that you can almost care too much sometimes as a go-to superstar player. You care to the point where you're worried about what people are going to say, what they're going to think about you at some juncture and throughout the series. And I don't think LeBron gives us a heck what people say. I don't think Kyrie Irving cares. Kevin Durant. They don't care. So they go out, and I think it frees them up to be themselves. You know, you can do it for three quarters, but what basketball in the NBA comes down to, especially, Colin, during the playoffs, is quality possessions, whether or not you can execute, get what you want on both sides of the ball. And so far, the Clippers hadn't been able to do that. They blamed a lot of it on Doc Rivers' system. Doc is a good friend of mine, and I respectfully agree with it then. I respectfully disagree with it now. I think guys like Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, this is why you were paid the big bucks. This is why you need to find a way to step up and make a difference this time of the year. No question about it.
Now, I don't feel the same way, Derek, about the Lakers. First of all, the Suns were more rested. They were at home. It just felt like you could feel the 11 years of no playoffs. This was the biggest game in Phoenix in over a decade. And I kind of felt like, the Lakers just kind of walked into a no-win situation. Are you worried, though? Anthony Davis, it's funny. Some guys are talented. Some guys are just motivated without talent. You know, the late Kobe Bryant was motivated and talented. I always feel with AD that you got to light a fire under him about three times a month. Does that worry you that he kind of sleepwalks through big portions of games and series?
You know, Colin, it doesn't worry me. I played for the Lakers for 1 year. I played against them throughout my career. So I'm not gonna make any bones about it. I hope the Lakers lose against the Phoenix Suns. Monty Williams is a great friend of mine. I played with him in New York. And when it comes to AD, why should you have to light a fire under a guy that's an all-pro, all-NBA basketball player that most people think is a top 10 player in this league? I think once you get to the playoffs, you should be self-motivated as a team. And you should go out and you should set the example that's needed to be. I think a bigger problem for these guys is just the cohesion. Injuries will slow you down as a team. And they're clearly slowed the Lakers down somewhat. LeBron is not 100%. Anthony Davis missed 30-plus games with an Achilles problem throughout the year. And I don't think basketball is a game this time of the year that you can just turn on and turn off like a light switch. And the pressure, as AD alluded to, the pressure is solely on him to find a way to be better, to play better. They're playing a very energetic team, and I think that's the worst matchup for a Laker team that has dealt with a lot of shortcomings as far as injuries are concerned.
You know, back in the 94 finals, you were one of the most dependable Knicks scorers when you guys played the Rockets. You guys lost in seven games.
Yes, sir.
But it's funny, if you even go back to Walt Frazier, who was like a seven-time defensive,
my favorite player of all time.
Yeah,
that's my guy.
Now, he may have been cool, and he had a nice jumper, but he was about defense, and then Pat Riley's teams were about defense, and this team's about defense. So when I watch the Knicks, they do take me back, to a bygone era. Yes. This is what they've always been. Even the Willis Reed, Walt Frazier team was really about defense. They are so limited offensively, Derek. How far can they go?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think to answer that question is they got the right matchup, because I think these teams are really evenly matched when you start talking about what they do as a team, both offensively and defensively. It took the youngster, Trey Young, down the stretch to make a huge shot getting to the rim and finishing off the Knicks. But I don't think that there's a lot of pressure on New York. They're kind of playing with house money as well.
Yeah.
Coach Thibodeau has this team believing in themselves as a defensive team. And Derrick Rose and Julius Randle, I think they can make enough baskets and create enough offense late in games where the Knicks will stay in this series. I suspect that this series will go seven games, and I think it'll be anybody's series to win. But I just think defense for the Knicks has to be the front of what they do. It has to set the tone for them as a team. And, you get in close games, all it takes is a bucket here and a bucket there, a stop here and a stop there, and you can find yourself successful. So I like the Knicks' chances. I love my time in New York, and I'm rooting for the Knicks.
You know, it's interesting. We know James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin are three of the top four or five offensive players in the league. It's interesting. Not only are Kyrie and Harden great finishers and great players, but in the history of the NBA, I'm not sure there's ever been a backcourt with two guys that can get their own shot anytime they want. I mean, Klay Thompson's more of a catch-and-shoot guy. You know, Gail Goodrich was a guy that, for the Lakers, Jerry could create his own shot. Gail was more catch-and-shoot. Yeah. I look at these two and I think, do you ever worry about Brooklyn that backcourt is so damn talented, points come so easy, that in crisis, in close games, it could be a problem?
I don't think so. I just think greatness, the greatness that they have, you're talking Harden, you're talking about James Harden and Kyrie Irving in the backcourt, and then you have KD, probably the best player in the league, pound for pound, if you look at what he brings as an offensive player. I don't worry about that. I worry more about their focus, especially Kyrie sometimes. I worry more about whether or not they can defend. You know, Boston is not going to put a lot of resistance up as far as the worst Brooklyn is going to play was game one.
Yeah.
I think things get better for the Nets. I don't think they're going to fall down and not play like they're not going to play like they played the other night. They're going to be better. They're going to be more focused. They're going to be more, you know, tied together, if you would, as a team. And Boston is just shorthanded and don't have enough to handle what Brooklyn is. But moving forward, when they start to face Philly and they play the Milwaukee Bucks, Colin, that's when you can concern yourself a little bit because there's more defense. There's more manpower on those other top Eastern Conference teams that can challenge the Nets. But I think the Nets is going to win the Nets, barring any injury and staying healthy. I think they're going to win the championship. It's just that simple because they can look at each other and turn a switch on the offensive end of the floor. Not overall, but they can certainly get hot at the right time and, you know, go on the kind of runs that it takes to win a championship.
By the way, you do Mavs games, so you see Luka every night, and you played 16. You played 16 years in the NBA. You were a former first round pick.
Yes, sir.
Does Luka even remind you of anybody you played with or against in your career?
You know, we're always trying to compare people, right?
Yeah.
They try to compare you to Skip Bayless and different people, right, on the air. And I love Skip, but I'm a Colin Cowherd fan to the end. Luka is Luka, man. And the one thing that the biggest compliment I can pay this kid, man, he's just in his third year. And when Luka faces the best players in the league, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, James Harden, Kevin Durant, he plays his best basketball.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a guy that's waiting. He's waiting to seize the moment of an opportunity to out-duel the best in the league. And I don't think you can take that kind of stuff for granted. He's not afraid of the moment. The only thing you can question about Luka is his shot selection sometimes. I think it's very difficult even for him as a player. But, man, when it's time to strap him up and put him on and walk down the alley, I'll take Luka Doncic against anybody in the NBA. He was my MVP. I know Jokic is probably going to win it, but I just think what Luka is as a player, you can't duplicate it. I don't care how great the other guys are.
Yeah. Derek, I love having you on the show. Anytime you're in L.A., you just come here, sit in the chair. We'd love to have you in studio, man. Thanks, Derek.
I would love to, Colin. Take care, brother.
Yeah, that was he played both ends of the floor. He had a little Klay Thompson. He'd play defense. He'd get a steal. He'd get a bucket. He was a leader. You know, it is interesting with Luka, and you can define this very easily. The great players do not shrink against the great players. Luka plays great against great players, and that's troubling if you're the Clippers, man, because Dallas is not a great defensive team. Last 6.5 minutes, Clippers couldn't score. That's scary. It'd be one thing if you're facing the Lakers or, let's be honest, Milwaukee, Butler and Bam both struggled. Well, Milwaukee plays real defense. Drew Holiday, P.J. Tucker, Giannis, these are great defensive players. They're not good, they're great defensive players. So, you know, Jimmy Butler and Bam struggle, you're like, yeah, I get it. You're struggling down the stretch with Dallas, it's like, whoa. Luka's, you know, none of these young guys play much defense. LeBron wasn't even great first 2 years in the league on defense. You got to learn, defense is hard. Defense is effort. You got to want to play defense. But, boy, Luke, it's something special. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Boy, this was a fun game. Trae Young did not disappoint in his playoff debut.
Those Knicks fans. They're just taunting
you. You know, I'm watching the game and I'm like, I am rooting for the Knicks, but like the Knicks are not my team, obviously. But I have anxiety watching this game, like, and I'm not a Knicks fan, so I can't imagine what Knicks fans are going through. And they're all like celebrating, and they're so hyped right before trade.
Well, the game went back and forth.
Dagger.
There were five times I thought the Knicks won.
Yep.
There were five, late in the game, 4 minutes left. Five times I'm like, Knicks got it,
yeah,
big shot.
Knicks fans thought that too. And then Trae Young said, "Not tonight, not tonight." He had 32 points, 107-105 win over the Knicks. The fans were chanting at Trae throughout the game, and he said it felt good to score the winning bucket and silence the crowd.
I definitely know the history of players coming in here being hated, and that's, like I said, I take that as a compliment, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously I'm doing something right if you hate me this much. So as I hit the floater, it just felt like everybody got quiet, and I was waiting for them F you chance again. So I was excited.
He was great. 32, 7, and 10. Julius Randle had 15 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists. RJ Barrett and Derrick Rose both added 14 and 17,
let's
respectively.
Watch this. Look at this. You just cannot stand. Oh, my God. You can't stand. That's a tough shot. You can't stand in front of these guys, these Ja Morant and Trae Youngs, Steph Curry. I don't care who you are. You can't stand in front of them.
Well, it was really great to see and feel the energy that the fans bring to the game. I mean, last year in the bubble, we kind of all sort of adjusted to the aesthetics and sound of a game like this with no fans. But throughout that, we all said, like, the NBA is, basketball is so unique. It's such an intimate setup for play that the fans are on the court.
On the court, you can talk to players.
Right. Like, you run into fans if you're running out of bounds trying to save a ball. So you really, like, the interaction between fans, especially when you're talking about Knicks fans.
Oh, God.
With players, is really affects the game. So it was awesome to see MSG, which looked completely full.
Oh, my God. How about Utah last night?
Yeah. I mean, it was like great. It's
crazy.
It's so good to have fans back.
Oh.
And especially, like, now that all the restrictions are lifted at the perfect time, we're going into the playoffs. They're going to have it's going to feel like a full house regardless of how many people you have in there, because the fans are so excited.
It's really interesting. So one of the things when I was a kid, younger, I say a kid, when I used to watch Laker games in the Forum, I always noticed how well lit the fans were. You could watch a Laker. It was like no other arena. And somebody told me that's because they're famous and L.A. is a lighting town. They know how to light the crowd because you have movie stars. So you'd watch a Laker game. You could see the fans' faces. And that's what somebody told me years ago, like it wasn't a coincidence. I don't know what it is with Madison Square Garden, but there's something the way that arena is formed. It feels like the whole damn crowd is on the court.
Yeah.
Everybody, even the guys behind the basket, it's just so intense, and it's like every other arena, but Portland doesn't feel like that. Denver doesn't feel like that. Memphis doesn't feel like that. There's a grittiness and an intimacy.
Yeah.
I've only watched a basketball game. One or two Knicks, one or two Big East. I've only seen about three games there, but it is different.
I've been there for one basketball game, one Heat game there, and for the McGregor fight. But there's just something about certain buildings just have an energy to them that you just really can't explain. And it was awesome to see. And that's part of it. The fans are back and they're talking trash. And
yep.
Trae shut him up. And game two is Wednesday, and it's going to be an intense one, but I'm looking forward to it. So Memphis took game one from the Jazz on the road, thanks to big games from Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant. Brooks at 31 points, setting a single game franchise scoring record for a Memphis player in a playoff debut. And Morant had 26 points. They got a 112-109 win. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell was out, so
and Mike Conley
he's recovering from a right ankle sprain.
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't have enough backcourt scoring. Mike Conley wasn't terribly effective late.
He had 22 points, 6 rebounds and 11 assists, but
missed two three-pointers late.
Donovan was reportedly very angry about the late decision to sit him, but he's recovering. He played on April 16th, and he's been out longer than initially expected, so he's progressing slowly with his recovery, but they're obviously going to need him if they're going to win this series. Ja Morant was incredible last night. And
Utah can't – Donovan is juice. They don't have a lot of Utah's well coached. They have depth. They have a rim protector. They don't have a lot of offensive juice. Like, they need Donovan Mitchell's 21 points, like badly.
Well, that's the issue when you lose a player like that, when you lose a Jamal Murray, when Donovan Mitchell isn't out there, when Jaylen Brown is injured. Like, the defense, the leadership, all of that is important, but you're talking about offensive performances from guys that you can't supplement. Like, you can't, yep, you cannot have Jaylen Brown out there in those points when you're going up against a team like the Nets. Like, you need to have all of your stars out there at this point. The Wizards put up a good fight against the Sixers.
They did.
They were within 5 points with less than a minute to go, but Philly held on the 125-118 win. Doc Rivers said before the game that he was worried his team might look rusty after a week off. And Joel Embiid did get into foul trouble early, but Tobias Harris had a huge game.
Huge. What did he finish with?
Career-high 37.
I was going to say, he was...
He 28 was, in the first half.
God, he was on fire early.
Yeah. So they had a 15-4 run midway through the third quarter, and the Sixers took the lead and kept it for good. Russell Westbrook had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 14 assists.
He actually...
Bradley Beal had 33.
Again, he played more measured. It was like a little bit more, you know, that's what we were hoping for years ago. But I also think it's easier to play more measured as you age because you don't have that relentless.
Well, yeah, you can't go 100 miles an hour
right
every play. But it also might work better for their style play and leading into Bradley Beal scoring. Game two is Wednesday at 7. I don't anticipate this being a long series, but every game this weekend was
entertaining,
competitive and entertaining.
Yeah,
yes.
Brooklyn was so cold in the opening quarter against Boston. And you knew it would end, but you're like, this is everybody.
Harden, but it makes you think for a second. You're like,
if they had Jaylen Brown, you know, and they could, because Jaylen could guard Harden, and then you'd have Marcus Smart on Kyrie and Tatum on and KD, and you'd be like, okay, they can make it uncomfortable.
Right. But, I mean, I would still pick the Nets in the series, but right, there's been a lot of last second shots, and the first games were amazing. So it's going to be a good NBA playoff run.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Sometimes the NBA media cracks me up, and I thought about this watching Milwaukee and Miami yesterday. Thoughts on that? LeBron and AD too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Ready to smell like a gentleman? Each Cremo scent made with thoughtful blend of ingredients, not a premix formula. Cremo, uncommon good scents. Amazon has it, so does CremoCompany.com. I use all their stuff. Good body wash, too. So, you know, the NBA media sometimes cracks me up. They always want to anoint, you know, the new face of the league. And my takeaway is always like, all right, can they shoot? Like Derrick Rose, oh, my God, he can't shoot. John Wall, Russell Westbrook, they can't shoot. And they're small, so they're not going to dominate the glass. If you can't shoot, you're not going to be the face of the league. Kobe could shoot. Michael Midrange could shoot. Okay, like Larry Bird could shoot. LeBron can shoot. Got to be able to shoot to be the face of the league. Giannis can't shoot. Can't shoot free throws. Can't shoot jumpers. Okay, he's great. He's a great defensive player. He's a great kid. He's great within 4 feet of the basket. But this whole face of the league thing, he can't shoot. And so when you watch Milwaukee play, I pick them to win everything with no confidence. They struggle at times late in games. There's a way they have to play. I compared them to Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. You know, they're better with a lead and they can play downhill. Milwaukee's the same way. If they get behind in games, Giannis is not going to shoot you back into it. There's a certain way Milwaukee can play. Now, they're very good defensively. They're only better now defensively with P.J. Tucker and Drew Holiday. They were good last year defensively. They're better now. But the new rule is, if you're going to convince me who the face of the league is, they got to be able to shoot. And I say this with respect. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is as good a player as the league's ever had. Bill Russell, Shaq, they would not be as dominant in terms of championships today as they would have been 15, 20, 30 years ago. You got to be able to put the ball through the basket. Even if you're a big, we need you to occasionally hit a three. It's a math equation. And so, you know, the game, like, I love Zion. He can't get to the playoffs because he didn't have a three ball. You got to be able to fix that. And I think Zion will. He's got a good-looking jumper. It just takes time. You ask these young kids to develop overnight, And it takes some guys 3 and 4 years. I mean, Jaylen Brown for the Celtics, it took him 4 years to pop in the NBA. Now he averages, you know, mid-20s a game. So I like Giannis. I think he's. I think there's dimension he has, but I never. One or two things to be the face of the league, you got to control one or two things. You got to be able to control the tempo. Ja Morant's controlling the tempo of the game. He's telling you we're slowing it down, we're speeding it up, or you got to be just a prolific shooter. Because there's generally ways. You know, Shaq was so unique as a body. There's generally ways to defend bigs and put double bodies on them, front them, guy in back, push them around. There's really no way without the hand check to defend Steph Curry, Ja Morant. There's really no way to defend. Jason Tatum's going to get a shot. KD, Harden, they're going to get their shot. So the Lakers are an interesting story because, you know, and I found this with the Lakers have a little bit of a conflict of interest. LeBron has always liked the rim to be open. So LeBron is not a great natural shooter. He's developed into a very good three-ball shooter, but he loses confidence regularly. So when LeBron loses confidence, Ray Allen never lost confidence in a shot. Kobe never did. Luka never does. LeBron's not a pure shooter like that. He'll lose confidence in his jumper. And when he does, he goes back to the basket to score. The problem being Andre Drummond is a five. He's a center. And Anthony Davis doesn't want to really play the five. But it's better for the Lakers when Anthony Davis will play the five because he can move in, out. He's like Chris Bosh. You can put him next to the basket. He can clear out for LeBron and be a jump shooting threat. Andre Drummond's not. So, you know, yesterday's a prime example where, you know, Andre Drummond, there's one quarter he didn't play a minute in the fourth. It was the one quarter the Lakers beat the Suns. So Andre Drummond has value briefly against certain teams. But with AD, he can be a frustrating player because you always feel like you got to kind of motivate him and then you got to kind of convince him to play a five and, you know, he's going to play a position he wants and you got to hold your breath that he stays healthy. And so that's why with Anthony Davis, like, you just got to celebrate when he's great. Last year in the bubble, he was great. And then you got to tolerate when he's not. He's not Kobe. He doesn't wake up in the morning. You know, it's so funny if you look at the history of the Lakers bigs. If you go back to the history of the Lakers, I mean, you can go back all the way back when. The bigs have always been different than the guards. Now, think about the great Laker guards. You had Jerry West, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. I mean, let's consider LeBron James a ball handler. Focused, driven, obsessed with their business, with their basketball. Like, they show up early, they leave late. The Lakers bigs have always been interesting. Wilt was a flake. Shaq was always a little distracted. Andrew Bynum was semi-committed. Dwight Howard was goofy. And Anthony Davis, some nights he's just not into it. I don't know the psychology behind it, but it feels like in the history of the Lakers, the big guy is great when he's in the mood. The guards are always great with the Lakers. The ball handlers, it could be Norm Nixon, it could be Cooper, it could be LeBron, it could be West. It didn't matter. It was Kobe, it was Magic. They've always been, they've had these legendary centers, but they've kind of been the maturity and character and intensity of their guards is why they have the titles. But the bigs have always gotten so much attention. But I feel like we're kind of living, you know, Anthony Davis has got a little bit of Shaq and there's a little Wilt and there's a little Dwight Howard. It's like, dude, focus in, big game. Phoenix haven't played a playoff game in 11 years. You want to be dialed in for this. And the Lakers, he wasn't. AD was just not dialed in, ready to play. And that's kind of who he is. Got to poke him, got to prod him, got to motivate him, got to convince him to play a five, got to cross your fingers and hope he stays healthy, which he doesn't all the time. Simply Safe delivers home security to protect you and your family. Get a free security camera today. Go to simplysafecolin.com today. Customize your system with Simply Safe. So the first 2 hours have flown by. Bill Oram, who covers the Lakers for The Athletic, will stop by as well. Listen, man, we didn't have sports. Joy and I didn't have sports for a long time. I'm sitting down this weekend on the bed, and just every channel I went to, there was something big. How great was it?
It was a great weekend. And I'm with you. I think the same thing every time now. I'm like, what an abundant blessing this whole weekend.
Now, who plays tonight?
Friday.
Portland, Denver
the
plays
Heat play
tonight.
And
I think we get two games a night.
Yeah, we get two games tonight. And the Heat play the early game.
Today?
Yes. So Heat, Bucks, and Blazers, Nuggets.
Okay, that's great. Those are good series.
Yes.
And, Denver, Portland.
I picked Portland in that series.
Yeah, it's they could not stop Dame. He was a total handful for the Nuggets. Hour 2 down, hour 3 forthcoming, live in L.A., it's The Herd.